I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us into your house today. We thank you for the word that you have said in your book, Seek My Face. And Lord, we have gathered here to seek your face, and we ask that you would not hide yourself from us, but that you would make yourself very apparent and real and felt by us. Enable us to worship you, we ask, as this is why we are here, to seek your face and to worship you, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's lovely to see you all again. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your welcome. We're going to be looking at Psalm 18 today. We're going to read from Luke 1, though. So turn to Luke 1, and we're going to see the light that it sheds for us on Psalm 18, because lots of the similar words are used. I opened the service with Psalm 18 and the verses that we'll be looking at later, about David's cry to God, that he is his strength, his defense, and his deliverer. And similar words are used in Zacharias' song in Luke 1. And we'll pick up the reading in verse 57 of Luke chapter 1. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Now so it was on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. And his mother answered and said, No, he shall be called John. But they said to her, There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all those who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, What kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. May God bless his word to us as we come to see it. So turn with me to Psalm number 18. Psalm 18. We're going to be looking this morning at Psalm 18, the first two verses. This is a psalm of David. David's words, and if you remember the title, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. These are marvelous, marvelous words of David the psalmist. Now, the Psalms, you know, are deep in theology and in meaning and in experience. Both the highs and lows of the Christian life are there, the mundane and the exciting. Often they have overlapping themes, overlapping meanings. So for the psalmist, the psalm may be true, but it may also be true for Christ. It may be true for the believer and the church at the same time. So we know that Psalm 22 is the words of David, but it's also applicable to Christ, isn't it? And we know that Psalm 80 is applicable for Israel. It's a psalm about Israel, but it's also of the church. And so we see that the word of God is so profound, isn't it? And the Spirit inspired these psalms, and they have so many overlapping meanings. I'm going to be looking at that today, because this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 18, verses 1 to 2, as the cry of David to God. And this evening we're going to be looking at Psalm 18 and verses 1 and 2, as Jesus' cry to his Father in heaven. And so we'll see just a little bit, we'll have a little glimpse of how deep these psalms can go. Now the context of this psalm, to help us understand before we dive into it, the context is 2 Samuel in chapter 22, when God has done great things for David, and he's delivered him from all of his enemies, as the title says. The Lord has protected him from everyone and from every enemy. And when the armies came against him, he prevailed. And God kept all of his promises to David, every single one. And he has delivered him from all of his enemies. And so David sings this psalm to God in 2 Samuel 22. And then it's been refashioned, changed slightly to fit it to meter so that they can sing it as a psalm in Psalm 18. So that's where this is. And David starts with this exuberant praise in verses 1 to 3. And then in verses 4 to 19, he tells of God's dealings with him as his king. And then it reaches this pinnacle in verses 20 to 30, praise to God for what he has done. And then, characteristic of many of the psalms, he works down the other side of the pyramid, as it were, retelling of God's kindness and God's works to him in 31 to 45, and then ending with more praise to God, his refuge, in verses 46 to 50. So that's an overall view of the psalm. It's praise to God for what God has done for him, and God is his refuge. So we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2. And the first thing we're going to see is that God is David's strength. God is David's strength. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Now David is looking back at his life, isn't he? And says, God has delivered me from all of my enemies, and God is my strength. He looks back and he says, I overcame Goliath the giant when I was a young man. I overcame the Philistines and the Amalekites, this is just to name a few. The Moabites, gone. Edomites, defeated. Saul, he's been overcome. Absalom, my traitorous son, he's been overcome. But it was not me, says David. They were each too strong for me, he says in verse 17. Each of them too strong for me. No, the Lord is my strength. It's by his strength that I've overcome all of these enemies. David is looking back at his life, and he says, at every point that I just didn't drop down dead, that is God's strength sustaining me. At every moment I didn't just cease to be, it is God's strength. And just as God is David's strength here in this psalm, and even today, because David is in heaven, no less dependent on his God, his strength, to sustain him. Just as God is David's strength, so is he our strength. And that's interesting, because it's true whether you're a believer or not. He is your strength, and without him we just cease to be. It is by his strength, it is in him we live and move and have our being. Without him we are completely undone, whether we are believers or not. We are kept alive and sustained by him. But for the believer, this is the difference. The believer gets to call him my strength. We have that confession, don't we? He is our strength. And by saying that, we acknowledge with David our own weakness. Jesus says to his disciples, doesn't he? Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. It is by God's strength that we do everything that we can do. It's by God's strength that we go to work when it's hard. It's by God's strength that we come home when that's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard going to church. And it's by God's strength that we do that. It's by God's strength that we take a breath when that is hard. As we get older, it may even be harder to get in and out of bed. And it's by God's strength that we do all that. It is all we ever do is by his strength. Because we are too weak for all of these things. We are sustained by his mighty strength. We all know what it's like, don't we, to wake up on the morning of what we know is going to be a difficult day. We have to meet that person and have that conversation. And we say our prayers, don't we, in the morning, and we say, Lord, give me strength, for I can't do it. And that's the cry of the believer, the Lord is my strength. By his strength that we go, and that is no small thing. Because it's by his strength that the Christian gets to do the impossible things. Going on in strength into the impossible days and achieving. We're more than conquerors through him. We fight temptations that we could never do before. We mortify sin in our lives, the power which we just don't have in and of ourselves. We grow in grace, something impossible for a person who is outside of Christ. All these impossible things, previously impossible things, done in God's strength. And so we begin to touch, don't we, on the fact that God is our strength spiritually as well. Because before God came into our lives and ransomed us and rescued us, the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, was our enemy. And he was too strong for us. We were his slaves. Remember those days when you didn't know the Lord, when the Lord was not your strength, when Satan was king of your life. But glory to God. The word says, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. It's God's doing, isn't it? Wesley had it, didn't he, in his hymn. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. We are powerless to do anything about our souls, about our sinful condition. But thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, and my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Salvation is all of God. It's God's doing. Acts 5 and Hebrews 12 teach us that even faith and repentance are gifts from God to us, his people. And so we see there is no part of salvation which is not done by God's strength. And we ought to remember that. We should remember that. That is all of grace. And it's all his doing. We need to remember how utterly dependent we were on God for our salvation. And we are today for our sustenance. And think what a mighty strength that strength of God is. That mighty strength to break a heart so stubborn. And to bend a will so hard. The heart is dark, isn't it? So sinful. I mean, we see it on the news. We see what we're capable of. And you know the secret thoughts of your hearts. They say, don't you, that a mark of a way to tell your heart. You say, what would you do today if you knew nobody would ever find out that you ever did it? And so you see how sinful and dark our hearts are. Yet the power of God is stronger than that. So dark is the human heart that when light was here in the world in Jesus Christ, we didn't see him. God's strength is stronger. God overruled and he subdued your heart, didn't he, by his strength. He won you over. My heart was once hard, but he made it soft is our cry, isn't it? There's this wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 4. It is the God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is strength, to break a heart so stubborn and to win a will so hard. That is strength, what he has done to us and for us. He has overcome us, and glory to God. We should be so thankful to God for doing that for us, showing his strength in saving us. I have two examples for you before we move on to the next point. Example one is Peter. Simon Peter. Despite his zeal, despite all of his goodwill, he couldn't resist temptation. He was too weak, and he denied his Lord Jesus. But Jesus, because he is God with God's strength, restored him, and on Pentecost gave him his spirit to make him a mighty preacher. And a bold man who would not deny his Lord, but rather be martyred for him. That is the strength of God in the believer, overcoming our weakness. And another example is my close friend in Cardiff. He was saved about a year, 2 years ago. And his family's a Christian family, and he didn't believe. And then he came under conviction of sin. And he said to me on the day after he was saved, he said, I was sat on the bench till 2 o'clock in the morning thinking, what do I do? What do I do? I've got to make my prayer good. I've got to do something to save myself. And then he said, I realized I couldn't do it. I was still trying to add to the works of Christ. I couldn't save myself, he said. He was too weak. And so I gave up, and he did it. That's what he said. I gave up, and he did it. That is the strength of God for the believer and for the unbeliever. If you are not a believer tonight, you know it in your heart. You can't save yourself. Give up, and he will do it for you. Because he is strong when we are weak. So God is David's strength. What else is God to David? Well, these words that David is ransacking, isn't he? All of his literature, all of his pictures, to try and get more and more pictures, saying, God is all of this to me. He is my fortress, my stronghold, my shield, my high tower, your translation may say. These are all images of stability, impregnable defense, reliability, something immovable that David is putting his trust in. David is going all the way with these descriptions, isn't he? Trying to find more and more ways of saying, God is all of this to me. All of this. He's not just my strength, but my protector, my defense. He is my fortress. Now, when you're thinking of fortresses, don't think of something like the ruins of Oystermouth Castle, which is just more or less a pile of rubble with a lot of holes in it, isn't it? No, think of something more like Pembroke Dock Castle and those great thick walls, if you've ever been there. They still tower up into the sky, and they're still there today in one piece because no direct assault ever prevailed against Pembroke Dock Castle. This is more like what David has in mind, a mighty castle with layers of thick, thick walls. Now, in 1648, Oliver Cromwell besieged Pembroke Dock Castle, and even after a month of cannon fire against those walls, he could not break in. And the people besieged within were not only safe to trust in those great thick walls to protect them from their enemies, but they didn't even go without food or water. Because although Cromwell had cut off all the supply routes to this castle, what he didn't know was that the castle backed onto the river. And the allies of the people in the castle would sail secretly, boats filled with food and water, up the river into a secret cave under the castle, and up a secret staircase right into the kitchen of the castle. They were supplied secretly under the cover of darkness through a cave, and so they had that secret supply even when they were besieged. Now God is the castle for the believer. And so when we are besieged by the enemies of our soul, the enemy of our life, as David was by his, we have the same strong assurance, the same strong hope as David. When the world comes against us, when our own flesh wars against the new nature that God has put in us, when the devil himself would come against us with temptations, and when we are laid aside with doubts, accused of guilt in our hearts, attacked with discouragements that would draw us from the way, when we are the target of lies, of slander, when we are the target of misrepresentation, when we are even persecuted for our faith, we all know what some of these things are like. We may rest in God, our strength and our defense. And we know what it's like as well, don't we, to be secretly supplied too. To be secretly supplied by God, even when we are besieged by the enemies of our soul. We know what it is, a verse here, a hymn there, the timely words of our friends coming to steal a discouraged heart. We may be laid aside and besieged by our enemies. We may be persecuted, but we read Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, and read, how great is our reward in heaven when we are persecuted. We may be accused in our heart, accused of our guilt before God, and told that God will not forgive us. But then we read 1 John 1 and verse 9, and know that it is a confession, all it takes. And he is faithful to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. When we are confronted by death, whether our own or our friends or our family, we read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 14, and know that we will be reunited with all of our friends and family in Jesus Christ. When we are insulted, whether by friends, family, or people in work, we read 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 and know that even our Lord Jesus Christ was insulted, but he trusted himself to God who judges and didn't revile back against them. And so even when we as Christians are besieged by our enemies, we have that secret supply of the Word of God coming directly into our hearts, and the enemy can do nothing about that, nothing at all. Now, haven't we found God to be all of this to us? Our strength and our defense. He is our rock. He is our stronghold in whom we may safely and confidently trust. He will never let us down. The Lord is a castle with a secret staircase into the kitchen, to a secret cave, to a secret river that carries supplies secretly into our hearts, and the enemy can do nothing at all about it. The Lord is our castle. There is nothing at all in the world to compare to this, is there? Nothing at all. What can the world offer to compare to this? The world says, join us, and then when you have enemies, there is nothing to protect you. Come and join us, and when you are besieged, there is no supply. You are on your own. Come and join us and stand on your own 2 feet, even though you are too weak yourself. There is nothing to compare. What can the world give us that is greater than this? Because the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And it is on Christ, the solid rock, we stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. This is a great privilege to be a believer, and it must make us rejoice and be thankful in our hearts for what God has done to us and for us, and what he has made himself to us. So God is David's strength and his defense, and he is also his deliverer. Look at all the different words that are used here for deliverer, or savior, or the horn of my salvation. Both David and Zacharias used that, didn't he? We read it in Luke 1 earlier. Now, a horn is a picture of strength or might or triumph, usually in battle. The picture is of animals with horns and how they use them to fight. It's a strength thing in battle. That's the picture that is being used here. And just as by calling God his strength, David is confessing his weakness, so in calling him his deliverer, he is confessing that nobody else is David's deliverer. See, David is looking back on his life, isn't he, in this psalm, as we said earlier. And he looks back at his childhood and he says, yes, I repelled the bear and the wolf. And it was Ahimelech who saved me from starvation, me and my men, when he gave me bread to eat. And yes, it was my arm that wielded the sling that slew Goliath and brought him down. And it was Jonathan, my good friend, who rescued me from Saul and told me to flee for my life. But David says, salvation is of the Lord. He is my deliverer. All these things, David says, are his doing. I wonder if we all here have the same insight as David. Do we all see providence in our life in the same way? Now, it was nearly 10 years ago that I found myself on a beach in Benllech up in Anglesey. And very quickly the tide turned, and very quickly I was out of my depth, and I was struggling, and I almost drowned. But I was rescued from the sea. But it was God who saved me. What about you? You were wearing the seatbelt when the car crashed, weren't you? But God saved you. The doctor gave you that medicine which cured you, but it is the Lord who heals all of our sicknesses and cures all of our diseases, David says. The ambulance came to you when you were in trouble, but it is God who is your deliverer. We need to recognize this, the role of God in our life and our utter dependence upon him. As we saw earlier, it is in his strength that we continue. And here we see that he is our deliverer, and there is no one else. Nobody else offers themselves as the savior of your soul, and you are too weak to save yourself, and so am I. It is God who is our deliverer. And so we must cast ourselves on him and on his strength, taking him to be our defense, confessing, I am too weak, and I cannot save myself. You must do it for me. Now, by confessing God alone as our Savior, the question must be asked, what if he never saved us? What if he never brought you to that church that one Sunday? What if he never sent you that friend to take you to that meeting? What if he never found a way to give you that Bible and have you read it? What if you never heard the gospel? What if your parents never prayed for you as a child to be saved? What if I never sang Object of My Heart's First Desire, Jesus crucified for me in that pew over there 17 years ago? What if that never happened? Where would we be if God never brought to pass all of these things that were to bring about our salvation? What if that never happened? What if he never sent his Son into this world to be the propitiation of our sins? What if he didn't go to the cross to bear our sin on Calvary? What if God forgot or never made his promises to Abraham and Adam and Moses and David and all the ones in between? What if God never said to you and to me tonight, come unto me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved? We are totally dependent upon God for everything that has ever happened to us. If God never did all of these things, we would be utterly lost, wouldn't we? We would be lost if he never did these things. But he did. He did do them all. He did keep his promises to Adam and Abraham and Moses and the rest. He did keep and preserve David for his whole life so that he would go on to have children, including the Messiah who would come to save us. He did send his only begotten Son into the world so that whoever believes on him would have everlasting life. He did send him to the cross to bear our guilt and to bear our shame. And Jesus did go to Calvary for us. And he did break the power of sin, death, and hell in his resurrection. He did set us free to sin no more and look forward to glory. He did it all. God is our strength, and God is our defense, and God is our mighty deliverer. He did it all. Praise God. Now, David says in these verses that God is my deliverer. He's my deliverer. He delivered me. And this is the cry of all believers here this morning. God is my deliverer. He delivered me. Now I have to ask you, can you say that God is my deliverer? Because make sure you can. Make sure you can say he is my deliverer and that he delivered me. Because that's what happened to me when I sang that hymn, sat over there, Jesus crucified for none other than me. Now God has done all of these great things. He has made himself a deliverer to all who would take him. Make sure that you can say, he is my deliverer. Come to him in prayer. Ask him to forgive you of all of your sins and to make himself your God, your strength, your defense, your deliverer. Because he will. Because we have a God who loves to save. I'm going to read to finish a few verses from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 to 10. Or 1 to 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, weak, we couldn't do anything about it, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, how many times in that reading did you notice anything that we have done, anything that we did at all? God has done it all. He is our strength, defense, and deliverer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how can we begin to thank you enough for what you have done for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? We thank you that in him you have made yourself to us our God and our strength, our defense and our deliverer. We thank you, Father, that you have made yourself to us a mighty strength, and that through your power and through your strength we have become more than conquerors, and that we have been set free from sin and death and hell. Father, help us to go on in life in your strength, to put to death sin that is still in our bodies, and to live lives of good works and lives of righteousness before you in love. And Father, we pray that you should help us to lean upon you and to trust in you as alone our defense. Help us, Father, to remember that we are safe inside you as our castle with a secret supply when we are surrounded by enemies and so many things that would discourage and drag us down. Help us to plumb the depths of yourself as our supply. And Father, help us to never ever forget how utterly dependent we are upon you as our deliverer, as the one alone who has taken all of our sins away and forgiven us in Jesus Christ. We thank and bless you for him and his satisfactory work on the cross, taking away our sin and giving us instead his righteousness, by which we can stand before you, cry Abba Father, and have unlimited and free access to you, the God of the universe, who loves us with an everlasting love, who loved us enough to give us his own Son. Father, we thank and praise you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.